You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe, my name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to episode 16 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and now on Podbean, and if you do subscribe to us through one of those services, please take a couple minutes to give us a rating. It really makes a big difference. Spread the word to everybody you know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. John and I are also active on a number of other groups I'd like to give a shout-out to, including the Marvel Cinematic Universe Facebook group, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cosplayers, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the Facebook groups of our sister podcasts, Earth Station One and Earth Station Who. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group or WordPress site, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. So, Age of Ultron is here! But you're going to have to wait for our next episode to hear our thoughts on it, as much as we would really like to talk about it right now.
And there are things that we would love to talk about, just even ancillary to that, but unfortunately we have to wait.
Yeah, kind of. So this week we're talking about this week's Fantastic S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, The Dirty Half Dozen. Most of the news this week has been Ultron-related, but there are a few other things that have come up, so we'll be chatting about those. So without further ado, how you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been a long week, and I'm glad to see the weekend.
Indeed. I won't say I was up late last night with Age of Ultron, but it was like you said, it's been a long week and tiring, and I actually came home after work today and just fell asleep on the couch because I was so tired.
I understand. I mean, I was fortunate enough that the theater near me had a 7 o'clock showing, and it was packed. It was sold out. Mm-hmm. I've not seen that at a theater in Columbia, South Carolina yet, or much less reserved seating where I had to actually look and see, oh, is this my aisle? Is this my seat number?
Yep. It was, and I went to the big Atlantic Station thing where they had people from several different podcasts and the aficionados, and MomoCon was there. And I ended up going in my Peggy Carter outfit. It was sort of a kind of half-assed version of it. It didn't have the right shirt. I didn't have the right hair or anything. But I had the red hat, so I was recognizable. So that was nice.
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out to my friends at the Nerds of the Apocalypse podcast, because they were there at the theater, and you know, it's one of the guys who knows me as a Coulson cosplayer just kind of pointed at me like, I love that you did that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had a lot of people say, love the hat, and ooh, it's Agent Carter, so that was kind of cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, we had, there was me, there was two different guys doing Cap, there was one that was doing a more World War II Cap, and one a more modern version, and there was a really, really good Scarlet Witch, and really good Thor, and Black Widow, and there was a guy doing Quicksilver too. So
you pretty much had half the team there, at least.
We had about half the team, and my friend Tamil was there, sort of Tony Stark. He had on a kind of similar outfit to one of the earlier movies. So we had some Tony and Peggy pictures together. So that was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yep. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Obviously, it's getting good reviews. We'll be talking about it more when we tape the episode and we're actually going to have several guest stars come in for our Age of Ultron review episode. And then you and I are also...
Big episode! Big!
Yeah! It's going to be huge! And then you and I are also going to be on Earth Station 1 for this week, doing a thing on that. So it's a packed week podcast wise. We've got this, we've got ours, we've got the Earth Station 1, and then I've got my Earth Station Who episode that I'm taping on Sunday night. So it's basically like four podcasts in 4 days or something. So
I'm gonna need like a 5 hour energy or something.
Yeah, seriously. Plus the play that I'm doing. So anyway, there's been a little bit of news that's come out in addition to Age of Ultron stuff. There've been a couple of websites that have reported Ryan Felipe possibly doing Iron Fist. So, what can you tell us about that character?
Well, Iron Fist came out back in the 70s and during the whole kind of kung fu craze.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you had Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris and Jim Kelly and, like, and all those guys just going out and everybody was kung fu fighting, so to speak.
Right.
So Marvel jumped on that with a couple characters of their own, one being Shang-Chi, the master of kung fu, the other being Daniel Rand, the Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
And Iron Fist is one of those kind of, you know, I hate to say like white messianic type
right.
characters who goes into a foreign culture and becomes a master of what that culture teaches.
Right.
But it is pretty much, and it's very similar to Doctor Strange where, you know, he finds the mystical Asian city and the monks who teach him a special brand of martial arts and give him kind of a special power to where Daniel Rand can make his chi onto a thing of iron.
Hmm, okay.
So when he's called the Iron Fist, basically it's like his punch is like getting hit with an iron fist.
Hmm, okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of does this little glowy thing when he does it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's more than just, like, you know, Daredevil is basically just a guy who is, you know, exceptionally well-trained and has some,
right.
some super hearing stuff. So with this guy, he's... It's actually some kind of, whether it's, I guess it's probably not in
well,
humans, but it's enhanced in some way.
Well, he's both exceptionally well trained, and he was kind of bestowed with this power as well.
Okay.
You know, so it's kind of, it's mystical to a certain sense. And, you know, another thing about him is Daniel Rand is actually, he's kind of like Bruce Wayne in a way also. He's, you know, the CEO of the Rand Corporation, which we actually... It was a Rand Corporation truck carrying the chemicals
yes,
that blind Matt as a
right,
child.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. So, do you think that Ryan Felipe would be a good choice for that?
You know, I don't think he's a bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very good, and this could be kind of a turnaround and a comeback for him,
mm-hmm.
especially. You know, he could knock it out of the park, and Marvel really hasn't done poorly with its casting in my mind.
Yeah.
So I try to trust the system, even if I'm a little skeptical, because I mean, he's on a show now where he's like suspected of having killed a child.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you can see him and you can see that he's still working, he's still doing well, and he can still act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to, like, if he gets cast as Daniel Rand, I really have to see kind of what he does, but he could do a good job with it.
Yeah, and as we were saying last week, you know, I think that it's a good reminder that the guy who started the entire MCU franchise off with Iron Man is the guy who directed Elf, you know, so.
Exactly, and you know, we got a guy who only a few years before Iron Man was in a jail cell for
right.
drugs and alcohol abuse.
Right, exactly, you know, so I think they've done a brilliant job, you know, or, you know,
yep.
I mean, we can give countless examples of.
Yeah, I mean, they tap people that they know have the potential.
Exactly. And their casting has been spot on. So, you know, we don't know for sure. That's something coming out of comicbookmovie.com as of right now. But it sounds like it wouldn't be necessarily a bad choice.
No.
Of course, we're still up in the air with Spider-Man rumors. I know that mm-hmm. The guy from Ender's Game is...
Yep, Asia Butterfield.
Yep, is now being talked about again. But
as is Tom Holland. I think the latest rumor is it's down to the two of them,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we still have the rumors about them. We still have the rumors about Billy Unger being passed around. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully, in the next month, who it ends up being, especially if they're going to put him into Civil War.
Right, and Civil War is officially shooting. There have been people that have seen them around town. Apparently, Robert Downey Jr. had a big dinner in Buckhead, and some other folks were out for sushi and stuff. So it's definitely happening.
I think both Evans and Frank Grillo are supposed to start shooting their scenes this weekend.
Okay, cool, excellent. Yeah, of course we were all, you know, as we were waiting around, we're like, wouldn't it be nice if some of the Marvel people would come by the theater tonight? Oh well. Because it's like, we know they're in town, but sadly, no. No sneak appearances that we knew of at least of anybody in Atlanta.
And I guess no more American press tours, since, you know, both obviously Evans and Downey are busy at the moment.
Right.
As are, you know, many of the people who appear in Age of Ultron, especially towards the end.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it sounds like, again, without getting into spoilers, other than Thor and Hulk, it looks like pretty much everybody is on board and then some for this. So yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. Of course, we've got, this was the final project, it looks like, that Joss is going to be involved with for the MCU. And he's, we've mentioned the last couple weeks a couple of different things that he's commented on and things that he's said. It looks like he's taking a big step away from things at this point.
Yeah, it definitely looks like he's starting to get worn out from Marvel and kind of tired of dealing with things. Between complaining about, you know, Coulson being brought back on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a show he executive produces, so I don't know why he's complaining about that. Mm-hmm. Or to, you know, now this news that he thinks Daredevil should have been a movie as opposed to a Netflix series. It seems like he's kind of worn himself out, and I think if he stayed, the next step would be going out onto the lawn with a broom and telling those Marvel kids to get off his property.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long couple of years for him, because not only has he been, you know, has he been the director of both of the big set piece Avengers films.
Right.
As you said, he also has been working on, he's the executive producer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
And he's done some writing and directing for that. Plus, he kind of shepherded a lot of the movies that were in this last phase.
Right, and especially with Thor the Dark World, where he came in and did rewrites to include more Loki.
Mm-hmm. And as much as I love Loki, and I do, I'm a Loki girl, I think that is one of the weaker movies, unfortunately.
And I think we discussed that last week.
Yeah, you know, I'm all for more Loki, but when you end up sort of shafting the film's main villain to get in more Loki, I don't think it necessarily made for a better movie. But
yeah, there wasn't really as much of an explanation of what Christopher Eccleston was really after, what his motivation was.
Right, exactly. So we'll see. But, you know, he has, of course, he was the person who was pushing very hard for DC to do a Wonder Woman movie for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made some noises about wanting to jump over to the DC side of the fence. So that would definitely be interesting.
Traitor!
Well, you know.
Actually, I think he should jump over to Fox and take over all the X-Men stuff now that Bryan Singer says this Apocalypse is going to be his last one.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's one thing that you can definitely say about him is that unlike so many people that are involved in the cinematic side of the MCU, he's actually also worked on comics, and he's somebody who, he's not just saying I've loved comics my whole life. He is he's serious about it, and in DC as well as Marvel stuff.
And he does a great job. I mean, if you go back and read his Astonishing X-Men run, it's really good, you know, marriage of action and character-driven stories. I mean, I think he would be the ideal person to go over to Fox and take over the X-Men franchise.
That would be great, and you know, obviously he's got a very good understanding of not only the comics expectations, but also, you know, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could get the X-Men back in the MCU as well as Spidey.
Yeah, that's the only problem is I think if he goes over to Fox,
they'll be less likely to.
Yeah, he doesn't like. He's like, no, I don't want to deal with them again.
Yeah, that would kind of stink. But I think we would all love to see Wolverine, especially in with the Avengers and all those folks.
Now they're gonna have to end up casting somebody else for that eventually because, you know, Hugh Jackman says he doesn't want to do any more after this Wolverine movie.
He says that, and then he goes back on it. It's just like Chris Evans was like, oh, I'm not going to do any more Captain America after my... And now he's like, oh, actually, I totally am. So, yeah. You know,
of course, he doesn't seem to mind that his tombstone one day will probably read Wolverine.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, he's such an amazing actor in so many things. I'm, of course, a musical theater geek, so I just think that he's amazing. And
yes,
he's one of these
really
freaks
talented.
That, yeah, he's one of these freaks who doesn't age. I mean, he really is Wolverine. I mean, because he's got to be around 50 now, right?
He's I don't know. He's a lucky SOB. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, he's definitely got the immortality gene.
If you've noticed, he only gets more ripped as his career as Wolverine goes on.
I know, you know, obviously...
He's eventually going to be a Liefeld character.
Wow, damn.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's harsh.
Probably more like Mark Silvestri.
But... All right. But,
For the comic geeks out there who know what I'm talking about.
Indeed. So yeah, it'll be neat to see what, you know, where Joss goes from here. I'm sure that, you know, he's still going to stay involved in movie making and everything. And I think that as final movies go, you know, in a sort of like that portion of his career, I think Age of Ultron is definitely a high note to go out on. So
yeah, definitely. Always leave him wanting more.
Exactly. And so just one other thing, we were talking a little bit about cosplay stuff.
Yes.
And I know that you've been, you actually talk online sometimes with the person who does the costumes for S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
That's true. I'm very fortunate that Ann Foley, the costume designer, kind of let me get in touch with her and to be able to discuss. Like, I started just asking about Coulson's ties.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you want to be able to be as screen accurate as possible as a cosplayer.
Sure.
And she's like, oh, yeah, here's a bunch of links.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, like, over $100 ties.
Right. It's,
like, he wears nothing cheap at all. And even this past week with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., their Arctic gear,
mm-hmm.
The pants he's wearing are, unless you find them, like, discounted somewhere, $230.
Wow.
The shirt is like a Nike kind of mock turtleneck with mm-hmm. a zipper on it, and it's about $60,
mm-hmm.
which you can purchase from just about any sporting goods store that carries it.
Mm-hmm. But they probably also do some additional tailoring and everything on it.
Yep, and there's I think there were Under Armour boots that mm-hmm. were over $100 themselves.
Yep.
So you know. But it was nice to be able to look at that and see the swoosh on the neck and be like, okay, they didn't try to like cover up that this
That's
is
true.
Obviously like a real product that you can buy, which is it's great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's, and I haven't. I'm sure there probably is stuff like this out there. There are a couple of sites that specifically look at different TV shows and
right.
you know have links to. Especially, well, specifically like on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they do a lot of stuff for Sky and for Simmons, and they'll do links to stuff. And I don't know if that's something where it's official and has come from the costumers or if it's just people finding stuff that's similar, but man, it is always, you know, stuff that is like $200 for the blouse and $300 for the pants, and God forbid you want to do jewelry with it or something.
And that's the fun thing, is especially when you get into kind of like post-apocalyptic shows like Walking Dead or the 100
you're,
or something.
You're mentioning,
you think,
you know, where are these people getting these $200
jeans
from?
I know, they must be looting like the stores as they go through town.
Right,
like,
right. Exactly. All right.
Hey, nobody in Buckhead needs this.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and actually, yesterday I was trying to throw some stuff together last minute for my Peggy cosplay, and I had gone to the store and gotten two different lipsticks that looked in the package like they were going to work, and I put them on, and they were like bright fuchsia. They were not like the real fire engine red. You know, just one of those things where if you look at it, the lipstick, and then you look at it on your face, they just are different colors. And so I was going nuts trying to figure out what to get. And I went ahead and posted on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cosplayers page. And they're like, well, why aren't you getting the one that Hayley Atwell said she uses? And I'm like, you guys actually know which lipstick? And
oh, yeah. I think it's actually Sweet Dreams or something?
No. I mean, that's what they called it on the show. But it's... I can't remember the brand name now, but they gave me a link to where she tweeted it, and she took a picture of it and actually tweeted it out for something saying, hey, ladies, those of you who want to get this. And it's, you know, it's like a $20 lipstick. I'm probably going to get it, you know, just for convention season and stuff. But on the other hand, I ended up going, I'd asked some other friends of mine as well, and I'm like, do you know if there's anything I can get at, like, you know, Target or the supermarket or something like that, that will be the right shade. And a friend of mine said, yeah, have you tried, you know, this brand and NYX and a couple of other things. I ended up finding the perfect shade of Peggy Red.
Nice.
In Wet and Wild, which was $1.99. Have you seen
like her Twitter postings lately?
No, I'm actually hardly ever on Twitter.
And because she was at C2E2 this past weekend.
Oh, cool.
And she's, you know, waiting in the lounge, like in the lounge for her flight to come.
Oh, yes. And
Captain America First Avenger came on the lounge TV.
Right.
She's like, I'm hiding behind my sandwiches, but I kind of want to stand up and go, it is I, yes.
Yes. So, yeah, I saw that about the thing in the airport lobby. I also saw one that she posted, I think today, that someone had reposted about how she had, when she got her driver's license for the United States, she had to go, like, on a break from filming Agent Carter. So, she looks exactly like Peggy in her driver's license picture. With the full, you know, Peggy hair. And she
loves that. She's like, yay!
That's cool. And it's great when you see how much fun that these actors have with this kind of stuff. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
Just like I think it's great that Joss is a comics fan. You know, it's nice when you see that these are people that enjoy what they do. It's not just a job, you know. It's something that they can really get into, and they like, you know, interacting with the fans and everything. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right, so I guess we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. that gets the whole band back together in the Dirty Half Dozen.
The following is fully endorsed by the Needless Things Podcast and Needless Things Site.com. There's just one place to go for all your podcast needs. Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. A giant podcast of dorkery for every occasion, thousands of subjects in every shape, size, and color, and because we eliminate the middleman, we can cast all of our pods factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to hear about toys, movies, music, and TV? Needless Things Podcast! Needless Things Podcast! And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. All episodes are absolutely free! Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents, and what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast! Needless Things Podcast! Hello, this is Phantom Troublemaker, president of NeedlessThingsSite.com. I like their podcast so much, I bought the company. Needless Things Podcast, one location, we're on Podbean under Uncategorized. My, where did you get that lovely podcast?
Needless Things Podcast, we talk dorkery! And that's all!
All right, we are back and ready to talk about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, this season has had its ups and downs. We've had some, you know, not-so-good episodes. We've had some good ones. But I think this one was one of their best episodes this year.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we got to see all of the different plot lines coming together, and we got a good lead into Age of Ultron as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, it was one of those moments when you just, you look at it and you see what's going on and you're like, oh my God, is this real?
Yes.
They just, Liz just talked about the twins.
Exactly. Oh. You know, and it's like, oh my God, it's Tuesday night and I can't wait for Thursday to get here.
I know. So, that's exactly how it felt after it was over. It's like, damn it, I have to wait another day before I can go see this movie.
Exactly. Two more sleeps. But yeah, we had so much cool stuff going on here. You know, I think that one thing that this definitely brings up, though, is this is the first time that we had the whole team together that was our main team from season one. And
yeah.
it really brought up how much all the different characters have changed since then.
And I love how Ward even just brings that up. It's like, hey, team's back together. This is nice.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like, F you.
Exactly. They're just the glares that he got when he was like, hey, this is great, guys. You know, he's such a wonderful character you love to hate at this point. But, you know, I think we had, you know, even in this episode, we had some real indications of how different things are. Simmons being one of the biggest ones, I think.
Yep.
You know, with...
And I gotta kind of agree with Ward on what he said about her.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's like, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've obviously over, you know, when we first saw Simmons, she was, you know, she was just a very meek little lab rat chick, and you know, was just very sweet and everything. And getting thrown off the airplane into the ocean by Ward was really a huge turning point for her.
Yeah, and I don't mind, of course, Simmons getting hard and developing that and becoming a more well-rounded, deep character.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more where she was to the point where she was ready to kill Ward.
Yes, I mean, she was ready to kill Ward. She did end up killing Bocce. And, I mean, not only that, he's not even aware of the degree to which she's gotten kind of xenophobic as far as the Inhumans go, too.
Right.
So she's definitely gotten darker, and you know, whether it's an interesting development for her character, but you know, we all kind of liked Nice Simmons too. So
yeah, and of course, you know, Nice Simmons is still there.
It's absolutely.
Just she's got a darker side.
Yeah, you know, and we had a moment between Fitz and Simmons this episode. They're obviously. Again, if you look at where they were this time last year, it's very different.
Yes.
You know, their relationship has just so completely changed, but they did have a nice moment where he was like, well, thank you for making that sandwich for me, you know.
Yeah, they're back to being besties, which is great.
I don't know if they're besties, because, you know, again, having... For everyone who's been in that situation of being in that awkward... You know, you're crushing on somebody, but they don't return it.
Right.
It's never, once that's out in the open, you'd never go back from that. It's never going to be the same as it was before. But they're working together, and
yeah,
they're doing all right. So
I would agree. I mean, you know, when you do that, it's never the same. But you know, sometimes it can become something better.
Sure, definitely. And they're finding ways to, you know, to work together and everything. They, you know, collaborated on getting Fury's toolbox out of there. So that's good. Obviously, Sky has been through some enormous changes. I thought that was a great little exchange with her and Ward, where he's like, hey, it's just like old times. And she said, not really, and turns around and just wipes out an entire room of Hydra guys.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, guess what I can do now?
Yeah, he's like, so that's what you did in Puerto Rico. but she got to, and I mean, she got to use some very innovative uses of her powers this week.
Right.
I never would have thought her Quake powers would have included being a human defibrillator.
I mean, it's all vibrations, so you're basically, you're it's like when you do chest compressions on somebody who's having a heart attack. It's meant to kind of jump start and, you know, the physical force of it kind of gets it to work again.
And it makes sense. It's just that's a level of extremely fine manipulation that it didn't. I wasn't sure if she could pull something like that off yet. But there was that. And then when I think of people using like super powers to restart somebody's heart, you usually think of it as being electricity, which is Lincoln's thing.
Right.
But hey, it definitely worked. So
yeah, definitely, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most interesting relationships that has changed, and it's really just changed in the last few episodes, is between May and Coulson, though, because she confronted him this time, and as much as we've said on previous episodes about how you can't believe that Coulson's actually doing anything bad. He was so evasive with her. She's like, "You've been keeping things from me." And he said, "Yeah, you're right, because you're not the director of S.H.I.E.L.D." And she's like, "Well, you're not either." Exactly. But he was trying to feel her out and be like, "Well, what is it?" And it sounds like she was just mad that he was seeing Andrew, but it doesn't seem like that's really all that was going on.
No, certainly not. She's definitely not happy with him for a number of reasons, that he kept that from her, that he kept Theta Protocol from her.
Right. And, it was
like,
it was
I can't trust you anymore.
It was very reminiscent of a scene from Winter Soldier, I thought, where they go into the Hydra base, mm-hmm. and she comes in and she's like, "We have to go." And he said, "As soon as I'm done with this." And
well,
she,
yeah.
And she says,
well, he
that's
said
not
that,
the
and
mission.
Then she said, "Yeah, I'm as soon as I'm done here."
Mm-hmm.
And like, our mission is to get these people, or is to rescue these people. And she's like, "That's your mission."
Right. That's what it was in Winter Soldier. And then they had the exact same kind of conversation between May and Coulson, where May was like, "Okay, Coulson, we need to get out of here." And he's like, "Right as soon as I'm done this." And she's like, "But the mission is this." And he kind of just looks at her and she's like, "Oh, that's not what your mission is." But that was when he was getting the information about Loki's staff, right?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, obviously he's working on things like that, but and without getting into spoilers for Age of Ultron, I'm still not sure what Theta Protocol is.
Neither am I.
Okay.
Obviously, it has something to do with the Avengers, and hopefully we'll see a little bit more next week about whatever it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of expecting / hoping that, when certain things happened in Age of Ultron that we'd go, "Oh, that's what Coulson's been working on." But there really wasn't a big aha moment there. There's something that Fury has been working on that people didn't really know about, but it doesn't seem like that fits with Coulson's sort of covert, traveling all over the world and talking to people thing.
And we know that also that Koenig is somehow involved in that.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be coming back, is it this week or for the finale?
I think it's this week.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, that'll certainly be interesting. I wonder, again, without getting into it, I wonder if it's, what was the Korean scientist lady's name?
Helen Cho.
Yeah, I wonder if it's Helen Cho related.
Maybe.
Because that could potentially tie in with the Koenigs, I guess. But yeah, other stuff. We had a lot of good lines this episode. I think that the best though was when Ward made his big speech about redemption and about how why can't we all get along? And there was just this pause, and it was a very Whedon-esque kind of scene, the way that the timing went, because he made this big impassioned speech, and Skye's like, "I'm still glad I shot you." and they're like, "Yeah, no kidding." And I think Simmons said, "I wish you'd hit him in the face." Which was just,
And Ward's kind of like, "Okay, granted, everybody's pissed at me, and justifiably so."
Yep. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, because, you know, he, you know, obviously in the middle of the mission, he's like, all right, I'm out of here, but he wanted Maya to have another chance to become a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent again.
Yeah, I think it's obvious by this point that he certainly cares about her, mm-hmm. to the extent where he's not using her anymore for his own gain. He's trying to return her to her old life.
Well, and I want to believe that, but at the same time, you know, she was brainwashed, and so
right.
I don't know if, you know, if he is using her as, you know, just as a plant to get back into S.H.I.E.L.D., or I don't know.
That's the thing about Ward, is you can't really trust his motivations.
Exactly.
You know, of course, we want to, like, guys like me, we want to believe he's doing the right thing, because... You know, we're secretly, yeah, we are hoping for that redemption. We know it's not going to come tomorrow. We know
right.
it's not going to be easy for him either. But, you know, it's something that some of us, like, want to see eventually.
Sure, sure. I just, you know, he just is such a, I mean, I have a hard time forgiving the things that he's done. You know, I'm all for a good redemption story, but he's just, I mean, he just keeps being... You know, sneaky. Like, you know, like the whole thing with when Bashi went in and was like, and here I have presented you this gift of Mike Peterson. You know, I'm not sure if that was Bashi's idea, but it seems like it was, you know, that was actually Ward's idea, wasn't it? So yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if he's going to be in any more episodes this season, or, you know, where things go from there, because, you know, Ward has become, you know, I said it last year, he went from being one of the most boring characters on the show to
mm-hmm.
the most interesting character on the show when he did his little heel turn and turned out he was working for Hydra. So
I certainly don't think we've seen the last of him.
Oh no, I'm sure he'll be back, but I don't know if we're going to see him in more episodes this season,
right.
necessarily. The other big thing that is still a question that's up in the air is, what is going on with Gonzalez? Has something in the cargo hold?
Yeah, we still don't know what that is, but apparently it was so dangerous that Fury felt the need to scuttle the ship and everyone aboard rather than let Hydra get a hold of it.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I know that it's mentioned in Fury's toolbox, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
they've, you know, at this point they've got a base, and there's no reason why they couldn't, whatever it was, they went back to the base between then and when the bus got blown up. So
right.
whatever it was, they could have potentially taken it out. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to know what it is. And it's funny because even though Gonzalez is like Mr. Transparency, and he's always saying that, oh, we should be completely open and honest about everything here, obviously, he's got some big secret that he's not sharing with his team, too.
Right.
So, you know, as much as he's always using that as his main thing for criticizing Fury and Coulson, he's, you know, kind of calling the kettle black there.
Yeah, I mean, he goes back to Gonzalez's hypocrisy, where he's all for this, that, and the other, but he's doing things that contradict that.
Absolutely, and, you know, I thought it was fun when Coulson was talking with Maria Hill, and he said something about how he had not mentioned that he was looking for Loki's scepter when he
mm-hmm.
When he was talking to the rest of the team, and he said, you know, I didn't want to bring it up because then they're just going to put it to a vote. And Hill looked at him like, "Are you crazy?"
Yeah, I do love that exchange between them. Like, yeah, they vote on everything, and both Coulson and Hill are like, "Ugh."
Exactly. I mean, because how do you run a spy organization when everybody gets a say? That's just
yeah. I mean, you have an organization
talk.
Where somebody can say no, I don't want to do that. And if
exactly.
he gets enough votes, well, you know, there goes the world.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we'll definitely be looking forward to seeing how that all plays out. Although, again, I thought it was fantastic at the point where Coulson got the call from Maria, he's like, "Oh, excuse me, I have to take this," and he holds up the phone so that Gonzalez can see it says Maria Hill. So he's
yeah,
gotta,
and then he gets his gives him the toolbox and like, "Oh, by the way, Fury's gonna want that when he gets back." Oh, wait, you didn't know he was alive.
Exactly. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do next week in terms of a follow-up from Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
I don't think this is certainly not as pivotal as Winter Soldier was in terms of just completely turning the world upside down,
right,
as far as S.H.I.E.L.D. goes. But there's definitely going to be some repercussions on.
Absolutely. So, we're going to see what that's all about.
Indeed.
Oh, you know what? We haven't talked about the lead-ins.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Let's talk about that.
I mean, I loved what they did with it, the way they led into it, you know, because you talk about that call between Coulson and Hill is exactly what, you know, the tie-in is about. It's Coulson getting the information on where Loki's scepter is, so that the Avengers can go in and get it back.
Exactly. That's, you know, that ends up being the whole, you know, the whole motivation. What kicks off the beginning of the movie is that's what they're going to do.
Yes.
And that's, you know, one of the most pivotal things in the movie is what happens with that.
And then, of course, you get List talking about Strucker, talking about the experimentations.
And the twins.
Yeah, and you find out from this episode that out of all the people they've experimented on, Pietro and Wanda Maximoff are the only two survivors.
Right.
Are the only two successful cases.
Yep, exactly. And then we also have the scene with Reyna, of course.
Yes.
You know, and that was her. I mean, that's one of those things where it's hard to deal with powers like that in a situation where they're not everything is under your control, you know.
Right.
They can't really give away too much stuff about, you know, about what's going to happen in the movie. But, you know, she saw Loki's staff, and, you know, she had the line about, you know, men made of metal falling from the sky and everything. So, it was good. It was, you know, certainly a better tie-in than they had with Thor, which was just not a tie-in at all.
Disappointing. Yeah, I mean, this was a tie-in that was, I thought, was on the level with the tie-in from Winter Soldier.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
you know, and I think, not as universe-changing, but still just as epic and just to make you ready for this movie.
Right. It definitely, you know, gets you ready for the movie. And I thought it was interesting because one of the people that I was talking to last night at the movie was saying, she said she hadn't been watching S.H.I.E.L.D. and she actually hadn't seen Winter Soldier. And she said there were a bunch of things in the movie where she was like, okay, I have a feeling like this was significant and I don't know why. You know, things like the fact of Fury being dead. You know, if you don't know that, as far as most people know, you know, Fury is dead, that, you know, and actually come to think of it, did Tony even know?
No, I mean, because he never mentions it you can probably
No, I don't think he did.
I mean, you can make assumptions about what happens off screen, but, you know, you never really know.
Right, and, you know, obviously Maria knew, and Maria was working for him, but I don't know. We'll touch
Tony's
on that when we get to the Ultron episode. But,
yes, yes, we should keep that for the Ultron episode.
Fair enough, but but yeah, I mean, it's if you haven't been watching, you know, keeping up with the other movies and watching S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a lot of things that I don't think you necessarily, you know, they necessarily had the same resonance in the movie. You know, things, you know, like knowing the whole backstory of how Hydra's been experimenting on people and, you know, chopping them up and and everything. You know, the whole thing about the Inhumans plot line and things like that. So I think that they did a really good job of not giving away too much, but still making it a very meaningful tie-in at the same time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, and one other thing I just realized. The other thing that I wanted to mention, now that we brought up Reyna, is it will be interesting to see where that goes, because it sounds like she wants to challenge for being in charge of the Inhumans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, she definitely did that. Why are you in charge? Sort
exactly.
Of.
And, you know, depending on, we don't really know necessarily what's been going on elsewhere in Afterlife, but it's certainly an awkward situation for Jiang that, you know, she tried to kind of get rid of Cal and that didn't work. So that's an awkward situation. Another thing that I had been super sure of last week, and now not so much, was I was thinking that Lincoln was potentially working with Hydra because of the guy that went camping was one of the ones that disappeared, mm-hmm. and then he just happened to show up in Milwaukee at the same time, like, you know, 2 minutes before Hydra comes around the corner. But it sounds like, from some things that they said in this episode, that that's not actually the case, that he actually is, you know, is working with Jiang, and that's, sounds like my awesome theory went down the drain.
Yeah, because I had the opposite theory. Well, you know, it certainly seems like they're tracking Gordon, and that's
right.
How they're finding everybody,
yeah.
which
yeah. And I think,
ended up being the case.
Yep, you were right on that one, so. Oh, well, yet again, one of my conspiracy theories doesn't pan out. Oh, well, that's all right. Okay, so if we're rating this on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being awful and 5 being, oh my god, this was awesome, where would you place this episode?
I'm giving it a 5, total 5. I mean, just even without the Age of Ultron tie-ins, this would have been a 4. But, you know, once you put that in there and those direct links into the movie, it just bumped it straight up to 5.
I agree. I'm giving this one a 5 as well. I thought that, you know, there were just, the dialogue was absolutely on, the interactions between the characters, they're doing a good job of pulling all the different plot lines that had sort of gone off in all different directions, they're all coming together. You had so many characters in this, and yet I think they all got to have good moments. You know, everybody from, you know, Reyna.
Mm-hmm.
Is that great thing about, I thought your power was spinning really fast to collect gold rings.
I know. Yeah,
oh,
Reyna the
burn.
Hedgehog.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, there were just a lot of great lines, a lot of, everybody got to have a moment. We didn't get a whole lot of Cal in this episode, but what we got was very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing, and, you know, like Ward said, seeing the team back together was just, you know, an opportunity to think about how much they've changed and how much this show has changed, you know, since it first launched. When you think about, you know, this is the first time the original team has been back together, you know, it really is an opportunity to look at it and say, wow, this is a very different show than it was when it first launched.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we've got one more episode, Scars, I believe, and then we've got the back-to-back doubleheader of the season finale coming up. So all this stuff that's coming together, it's going to have to be wrapping up pretty soon.
It's going to be an exciting ride towards these last few chapters.
I agree, and I cannot wait to see how they tie in all the Age of Ultron stuff on the back end. They did a great job of tying it in. Going into it, and I'm just totally psyched to see what's going to happen next week.
Mm-hmm.
So our next episode after this one, which will be coming up right quick after this one posts, is going to be our Age of Ultron episode, and we're going to have a couple special guests from other podcasts and conventions and whatnot on that, and so we will talk to you then.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.